distinctions, actualization in eternity, from manifestation in time. Oh my God, as we learn these lessons, life takes on a different view. And we are rejoicing in the God of our salvation every day. Amen. As Mother Benning used to say, God is good all the time. Amen. Amen. Not dependent upon the weather or what is going on around us. Amen. But it is tied to the essence of any relation with God that began before we ever were encapsulated in temporality,
That's right.
In time, and in this depraved bodies, this flesh, all for testimony's sake, solely for testimony's sake.
Amen.
Our real abode and the essence of who we are is in eternality. In Christ. Everybody say in Christ.
In Christ.
Deacon Galvin is a designated reader. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. This is one of Paul's prison missives of letters. It's always more impactful because of the situation he was in when he penned them. These are the deepest epistles, even though there are many deep things in all of them. Deep from the standpoint that he was focusing his conveyance is not from the prison cell so much as from the essence of his exalted position of vertical viewing. All vertical viewing is focused on God's saying and completely from what we are seeing in our surroundings. We're moved into part 5. Everybody repeat after me. Temporal and eternal things compared. Again, when we take that which is eternal and we compare it with that which is temporary. No contest. Everybody said no contest. And salvation is eternal. Its manifestation is in time, but its abode is in eternity. Let's go to page 25 of the document as we look also into Philippians chapter 1. I'm aware of the time. I took a little extra time this morning going through as I was led the pastor's pen. There are some things that we must know. There's some things I can't hardly wait, amen, to convey as has been given in God's word. Brother Deacon, let's start at verse 21. Of course, we were there last time, and we'll come back there. And go through verse 25. I think that's where we were last time. If not, it doesn't matter.
We're reading from the book of Philippians. The first chapter, beginning verse 21.
Everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
All right. Go ahead.
King James Version. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not.
Mm-hmm.
For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you.
Mm-hmm.
And having this confidence.
You see that? Having this confidence. What is confidence? What brings about confidence? What removes the xenophobia? You know the word xenos, the word that Paul used when he was talking about foreign and strange. Of course, phobia means fear. What removes the fear of the unknown? Unfamiliar. The things that we go into life and we've never been there before.
Right, right. Amen. Yeah.
You know, like if you're traveling down a particular route, the highway, and you know where you're going, you just put the pedal to the metal. But if you kind of don't really, you're not familiar, it causes hesitancy, right?
Uh-huh. That's it.
Hmm? And you're not really sure. Part of our job, as I've expressed to the ministry, is to take the mystique out of the mystery. The message that is conveyed to the Grace Church in the Grace Dispensation, it is there for us to have an advantage. And the focus is always on Him and never on ourselves. We can have confidence in Him. And if you got any sense, you won't have any confidence in yourself. Not when he said confident, he's not talking about self-confident.
Right.
You know, when he said, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded, and he goes through those litany of things. It's all in the passive voice.
Yeah.
We trust in God.
Yes.
Everybody say, we trust in God. I keep reading, but
and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your faith, for your furtherance and joy of faith.
Verse 26 also.
That your rejoicing may be more abundant mm-hmm. in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again.
How could Paul have all of those indicative futures in there? So how do you know what's going to happen? What the Lord had conveyed to him. So he knew what was next on the matrix.
That's right.
Of course, many times he didn't.
That's right.
But it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because his trust, he said, my trust is in a living God.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to look at life that way.
There you go.
Now here, he doesn't know what's going to happen. On the matrix, in his physical body, where was he? He was incarcerated. He was in prison. Now sometimes people in prison, they'll say a whole lot of things they don't mean, but here, this is not the case. Because he wasn't trying to impress parole board. I mean, you the day is vernacular, huh? Because there wasn't such thing at that time anyway.
Zero,
none. The prosecutor's office to lay off of him because their plans were set in cement. I said their plans. And so he starts off this ladder. He is not conveying things based upon his surroundings. Because nothing was looking good at that time. But God had given him an entrance into God's plans. And that's what we have in vertical viewing. We have an entrance into the plan, will, and purpose of God. And this is what he was walking in. All right, Brother Deacon, let's go to the Greek now. Again, the interlineal, those that may be listening, we use the Greek interlineal because at least he has the Greek word and the English word under it, and if he deviates, he has to make some type of explication. It cuts down on the editorizing. All right, go ahead, Brother Deacon.
Now, Philippians chapter 1, beginning verse 21, interlineal Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
For to me...
Stop. To me. To me. In other words, perception-wise, this is what God has given me. To me. This is the view of God to me. To others, they may not understand, but to me. Read.
For to me to live Christ.
To live Christ. To live, that is a present infinitive. What's the infinitive?
Verb and noun.
It's a present infinitive. Actually, we will substitute there in translation, living Christ. Christ living. Living is about Christ. Our lives are Christ. That's what living is about. One word, Christ. Christ is our life. I don't expect the outsiders to understand that, but God, this is a lesson that God's people need to know. Read.
And to die, gain.
Now, that Greek word, the apothanin. Syllable is on the first. Apothanin. Well, Deacon, you got your Greek lexicon. What is that?
That's an aorist infinitive.
That's an aorist infinitive. To have and died. Paul, are you crazy? You're writing to us. You're not dead. In the decree.
Yeah.
Otherwise, when you get to the... Get to the 5th, 6th chapter of Romans, and Paul in that 6th chapter start talking about you were buried with him in baptism. You died in Christ. You rose in him. Say, this man he's hallucinating. That's what Paul Festus said, stop this foolishness. He was speaking from the vantage point and viewpoint of God's decree. You are alive in the decree. You died in the decree. You rose in the decree. You are in the heavens in Christ in the decree. Paul said, I'm not worried about what is presently being manifested with me sitting here in this jail cell. Amen. Now, my focus is on what's in the decree. In the decree, in limitation. I may be in prison and bound, but in the decree, I'm free.
Yeah, that's right.
That's it. Which one should carry the greater impact? What's in manifestation or what's in actualization? I'm free. I mean, suppose the world did end Saturday. I guess somebody get nervous now. No, you're safe. We're safe. We're safe. That's what salvation means, safe. You cannot say that you're delivered or saved if you're not safe.
Amen.
Oh, glory. Yes.
It's in the decree. Somebody don't go ahead. I'm not saying what that word's going to end Saturday. Amen. But that's irrelevant. In relationship to me, worried about it. Because if it is, it is. And if it isn't, it isn't. So why should we be here worried about something that already that already is? Huh? It's already happened. Now, keep reading.
Verse 22, but if to live in flesh, this to me fruit of work. And what I shall choose not, I perceive.
Is that the perception here? Oh my God, I'm going to have to kind of rush through this a little bit there this morning to get where we want to go here. But you see, your life is not in your hands. And Paul recognized that, hey, I'm not in charge of what's happening here. And the essence of what's happening here is for my benefit. Another place here, he says, because of the bonds that I'm going through and what they're doing to me, it's giving other folk confidence. And the gospel is being preached. Yeah. So, hey, if they want to turn it on, so that the gospel will progress and excel, he said, bring it on. I said, Paul, you're crazy. No. This is a perception of saying amen to God's will.
Right.
We got to learn to say amen to God's will.
Yes.
Even in our prayers, it's about God's will. Some of God's people are dissatisfied this morning because there's something that they want and they've been praying for it. And they're frustrated and they're unhappy because it's not going down that way. Because they've got an agenda. I should say an imagined itinerary. Can we be happy with God's will? Can we be happy with what God wants? I thought, who is the permanent one? God is. I know we've been taught that we like in the nucleus of things, God's on the periphery. He feeds things into us as we please him, or we don't get it if we displease. That's not the way it is.
Nope.
God is the nucleus. It's about his will, his way.
It sure is.
Ephesians chapter 1 was all about what pleased him. Read.
Verse 23, interlineal. But I am constrained by the two.
Keep reading.
By the two. The desire having for the to depart and with Christ to be.
Now he's saying that based upon the fact of having glimpsed the essence of eternality. In another place, he writes in another epistle, he said, I know a man about 14 years ago, more than 14 years ago, about whether I was in the flesh, out of the flesh. He said, I don't know. I don't care. But I was caught up. And here we're going to deal with that in the fall. We use that terminology there. That they use the same word there, but here Paul is not intimating that he has made a transition. Because he said, well, I was in the flesh, and I can't testify either way, depending upon what I felt. But here, the Greek word that he uses here is a transpondence, not a transition. He said, into the third heavens, and what? I saw things that I can't even utter. I can't even tell you. In the King James, it said unlawful, which would mean that maybe God forbid him, but that word nomos is not there. That Greek word means unutterable. In other words, I don't have language to tell you what I saw. Oh my God. And it is from that experience and understanding that these words are come. And this is why, this is where I really, really want to be. But I don't have the itinerary here. And absolutely, I don't have the agenda. Amen. I operate on God's program. Yes, indeed. And that's something we got to come to grips with in our lives. We think that our lives are about our homes, our families, and our jobs, and our and others. And this is why in testimony is sick. The time God comes and he interrupts, he just brings it to an abrupt ending. And those who were gone on whatever they were doing, what does it matter? Whatever you were striving to, whatever you were looking, all of that just comes to an abruptness. In. We operate on God's agenda. And remember that. Our living is for him. Our dying is for him. Many churches this morning, they're sitting there and they're being fed your gold. Your dream. What about God? So, well, he's there to help me obtain my goal and my dream. What an illusion. In fact, what a lie.
Amen.
It's not only about him, it's all about him.
Amen.
Isn't that right, Sister Deborah? It's all about him. All about, not just about, it's all about him. Here, Paul is not concentrating on Paul. But Paul's function in relationship to what God has ordered. I'm a tool, I'm a vessel. I serve, I breathe at his pleasure. It's all about him and not about us. We belong to the Lord.
Amen.
All right, keep reading.
Desire having for the to depart and with Christ to be, for by much rather better, but to remain in the flesh more necessary on account of you. Verse 25, and this being confident, I know.
Mm-hmm.
That I shall remain and continue with all you
mm-hmm.
for the of you advance and joy of the faith.
Because God has decreed, and there is the purpose of the ministry, and not that God could have used someone else, but God had said, Paul, you're going to do this because I have decreed it. And still, as he said, what I'm going to do, the focus is still on God. I serve at his pleasure. And it doesn't even matter what those who conspire against me have in mind. You know, don't walk around and worry about, we've got churches get all bobbed in politics and say, we got to stop. Some of them say, we got to stop the Democrats. Others say, we got to stop the Republicans. And we got to, we what? First of all, know that what they said they're going to do is, if it's not decreed, it ain't happening. Paul wasn't concerned about what conspiracy those Romans had for him. Our lives are not based upon that. Okay, now, the essence of this, did you finish that up, Brother Deacon? All right, go ahead, read verse 26.
Verse 26, interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
In order that the boast of you may abound in Christ Jesus in me,
mm-hmm.
through my presence again with you.
Mm-hmm. So, basically here, in order that we can boast in Christ. Anytime you see that word boast, if Christ doesn't follow it, then you say, wait, hold it, something's wrong here. Mm-hmm. 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 And if anyone ever said that Paul was boasting, they don't know Paul.
That's true.
And they sure don't understand these epistles. Mm-hmm. And have no concept of grace. Let's go to our document, page 125, where it starts at the top there. This paragraph said, Paul was constrained. You see that? Mm-hmm. Paul was constrained by tugs from two courses. Again, for I'm pressed by the two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, for it's far better, and to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. We've just read that. Both of Paul's desires were superior. He was not only ready to interlock in actualization in with Christ, but willing to stay if his race of course and manifestation was unfinished. He could not at that point in his life say, I have finished my course, as he did in 2 Timothy 4 and 7. Nonetheless, what is superb about Paul's death for life is that in Christ transcends both. You get that? Whether it's life or death, in Christ transcends both. Manifestation-wise, if he died, he would be with Christ in eternity. But if he lived, he would be working in the Spirit of Christ in time. Here, Philippians 1:23 and also 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. And you've got to get what he is saying here. He is not talking about from the vantage point of the horizontal plane. It is from the vertical plane. Paul's constraint was the happiest condition in which one could live in time, in which one can repose and not from such desire to escape. In the fall, we're going to talk about matrices conflict your moments. In other words, what's on that matrix is conflicting with what you want. And that thing is driving you crazy. Most people sitting in prison, their only thought is to get out of here. By whatever means. So why am I here? What am I doing here? Lord, you got to come here and do something and do it quick. No. It did not present to him a conflictual moment. It did not conflict. There was no confliction. Here we have a Greek verb, synecdoche. It is rendered pressed, held in, contrasted. It is the present, listen to this, it is the present passive indicative of the verb synecdoche. Synecdoche denotes to hold together with constraint. Paul said, this is not me. I'm just like every other man. I would be saying, hey, let me out of here. But I'm held together. I'm caused to be held together. This verse is also translated, straight in Luke chapter 12, verse 50, and pressed in Acts chapter 18, verse 5, and constraints in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Yes. Here's what he understood. Eternity is gained over time. Because consciously, actualized essence in Christ is far better than consciously having the presence of the Comforter, yet the essence of Christ in time. Thus, to die is gain, to be within Christ is far better. This is what he's saying in that Philippian context.
Yes.
Now, show you the advantage of the vertical eternal viewing. In the kingdom gospel, Christ conveys to his disciples a precious promise. I would pray the Father and he would give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you and shall be in you. You know that's the indicative future there, but even in manifestation of knowledge and comprehension, it was later when he breathed upon them and said, what? Receive the Spirit for the purpose of what? And then the scriptures were opened up to them, the kingdom scriptures. And as glorious as that is, how much more the mystery?
Yes, indeed.
That is when it's demystified. How much more with the mystery when it's demystified? When you take the mystery out of the mystery.
Oh,
God.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus. Glory.
Here we have a Greek adjective, allon, rendered another. And you have that same thing in Galatians there. And other, another. Here it's rendered another. It denotes another of the same. Conveying that whatever Christ had been to his own during his days of his flesh, the Holy Spirit would be during his absence.
Amen. Amen.
That which he was conveying as an indicative future to them is abiding now because it's in God's decree with us. Manifestly, the Holy Spirit is the assuaged pledge of Christ's presence until redemption of the purchased possession in the body, referenced in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 20. Moreover, the indwelling Holy Spirit causes comprehensions beyond oneself in Christ by faith, manifestly waiting in hope for his second coming. Here again is the kingdom gospel perspective. But strictly in emphasizing the sphere of eternality, Ephesians chapter 1 verses 13 and 14 states, in whom also, oh my God, follow this, also you having heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is an earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased one, unto the praise of his glory. Somebody need to give him a praise this morning. Oh! Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, what magnificent blessings. These are as the results of the spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. We got all of this and we're going to walk around unhappy? Oh my God. Because maybe he hasn't healed my big toe. I got an eviction notice. Are they about to repossess my goods? That's more prevalent than the heavenlies in Christ. God help us. God help us. How can you enjoy Christ better if you straighten out some of these bills? If you heal my body, I could appreciate him better. You know, no. Got it backwards. No. Do you know who you are? At the funeral a couple of days ago, some eyebrows raised. I said, now we're here, and throughout we're going to hear about what the individual, that precious soul, precious lady, passed. So we're going to hear about who she was and what she did. I'm going to spend my time talking about who she is and what she's doing.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Who are we? We are members of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Who are we? We are sons of God. We are heirs of that which belongs to Christ.
Amen.
Why are we happy? Why doesn't that overshadow whatever else is going on?
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you.
That is eternal.
Amen.
What is going on in your life today is temporary. It ought to be a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Thank God. Glory to God.
I'm going to run a little over this morning. The eternal viewpoint. Everybody see the eternal viewpoint. Exudes above all us the elect having been, and here we have the Greek word aspharaisthete, which is rendered sealed, affixed, affirmed, as its indicative various passive connotations transmit that such ones were identified, thus definitively secured as God's selection in eternity. What's the security of it? What's the indicative mood? What's the aorist tense? Completed action.
Thank God.
What else gives us confidence? What is the passive voice?
Done to you.
We had nothing to do with it. Everybody say it's a done deal. This insignia emblem is acknowledged. Here I'm going to look Greek here, and it might go crazy on me here now. We have the Greek term two pneumatis, tis, asphaiyas, two ayu. Now I said that because what follows here, it conflicts with some of the translations. With the Holy, with the promised Holy Spirit. Strictly in highlighting the focal points of temporality. John 15:26 states, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father," Jesus had assured his disciples that he would not cease being their comforter until the time he could no longer personally be their comforter on the earth. Now let's fast forward. As we look at the balance part of this, we have a Greek noun here, parakletios. You've heard that. The comforter. Denotes one who has been called to one side of another, who pleads another's case before a judge, an advocate, a helper, succorer, assistance. Therefore, in the limitedly enlightened manifestation-wise scope and time, Christ would send the Holy Spirit to them from the Father. The Holy Spirit proceeds manifested from the Father in expression of the Godhead. Hence, he is divine rather than a mere influence, action, or attribute. All references to the Holy Spirit by the pronoun it manifests ignorance in not acknowledging God's divine characteristic in this trait. This essence dwells and abides in Christ's attribute. He testifies, teaches, guides by objective truth, brings to remembrance, speaks, empowers, enlightens, and maintains in purposed depiction in those blessed affections, which were formed by God's love and regeneration. In testimonials, Jesus Christ set forth all the blessed light and grace of the Father when he came. During his absence, another divine entity has come to sustain that witness in the kingdom. But all is revealed as actualized in the body of Christ. You see? You see the advantage we have over them. You see the advantage of eternal viewing. Give me 5 more minutes. Eternal residency. Everybody say eternal residency. It's permanently instituted as to that which is scripturally undeniably reliable rather than contended expositions in time. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 defines the intermediate state in between awareness of distinctions through conscious manifestations. Hence, it is what humanly resonates in temporality consonants separate this, yet not immediately united in eternality. Everything is done in eternality. Follow this. As we go into the home stretch here. The immediate effect of physical death is it releases this divide from the earthly body, in effect eliminating the gulf between that which is temporarily manifestly seen in testimony in the time loops as opposed to what is permanently actualized in the heavenlies in Christ. Ephesians 1 and 3. Resolution of the so-called intermediate state is subjective in what? In faithfulness instilled in enlightenment, what? Of the great scriptures. Why do you think we keep going through this, been hammering through this? Why do you think we've been going through this for 5 years? Actualization by God's decree in eternity, as it is distinguished from manifestation in time. Because we want to function and operate in eternal viewing.
Right, right.
in the actualized state of things, in the completed things, in the essence of where we are and where are we. We're in the body of Christ right now. You're in the body of Christ. Oh, your mind may not be resonating with it as we are locked into the time capsule. But the real, real, real essence of who you are in the body of Christ, new creation, right now. Certain doctrines espouse interlude and purgatory. We'll start here next week. That is, proposed within itself wherein souls are opportune to recompense for their temporal misdeeds, and once fully atoned, such ones are released as credible inhabitants in the eternal sphere. That's crazy. That's what causes fear.
Amen.
Scripture examination of the grace covenant definitively disavow any semblance of venue teaching, as it autonomously distinguishes originality and effectuality of action solely within the actualized state world
in
eternity. Hence, nothing can possibly be sacramental. I was telling Brother Kevorkian this yesterday. Nothing can be sacramental in a fixation appendix other than what was originated in God's decree and solely abides in actualized placement. This unequivocally eliminates all other locality, alms, deeds, volitional afflictions, and our purgatorial sufferings as sufficiently supplemental other than the preeminence blood of what? Of Christ.
Right.
Failing to understand or ascertain the soul abiding residency of actualization versus the arena of restricted time loops indwells testimonial manifestation intertwined in their physical spiritual concept of so-called soul sleeping. You see, once you start down that slippery slope, then you start to make it up. Bad doctrine does what?
Begin
the other bad doctrine. Finally, this view construes that the body is indispensable to movement and consciousness, averring that the soul sleeps until Christ's appearance for his elect. This outlook construes physicality as a dominating yet intermediate state of death rather than its definitive separation in temporality from what is the truly deep conscious and unbroken manifested awakened resurrection, is what Paul is speaking of. And that's very misunderstood passage there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, 17. We'll start that next week. But I didn't go to the cemetery where they commit the body. But I told the ministry here, I got a manual here, but I marked it up. Because they talk about the general resurrection. That's not you. They're speaking as though you're in the ground waiting from there for Jesus to come, and you're going to come up out of the ground. That's not you. The essence of it, as soon as you close your eyes, you're in the presence of the Lord. In conscious manifestation, you wake up in the arms of Jesus. All right, we'll go there next week. God bless you.